Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to worship, whether you're here with us or whether you're watching or listening online. It's lovely to have your company. It's great to see so many people here today, so please feel welcome. The Thursday service takes place, as usual, at 10:30 this week. Tuesday afternoon is craft team, and on Wednesday this week we have musical memories with Mary. 2:00 on Wednesday in the large hall. An excellent afternoon's entertainment. Thursday evening is country dancing, and Thursday evening is also the Kirk session. So the Kirk session will meet here in the sanctuary at 7:30, and the country dancing, as usual, in the large hall. Chana on Friday, as usual. Next Sunday, the 2nd of October, at 7:00, there's a concert in St Cuthbert's Church, an autumn concert with the Arkelston Singers. And if you'd like more information about that, you'll get it on the website or come and speak to me at the end, 7 till 8 on Sunday evening. If you've not already sent your articles for the Messenger to Elizabeth, today is the deadline for that. So if you've not done it, could you do it, please? We had a great night at the quiz night on Friday. It was really good fun. It was nice to see people out and about enjoying themselves. And we had a great amount, as I say, of fun, but we also raised £408.40. So a great total for having fun, wasn't it? So thanks to everybody for coming along and to all those who worked hard to make that night possible. The same team will be presenting a fashion show on Friday the 14th of October, and tickets are on sale now. So tickets for the fashion show are on sale, and they usually go quite quickly. So if you want one, I would see about it quickly. The shoebox collection is ongoing if you wish to bring articles or money for the shoeboxes. And also remember about the rag bag collection, which is taking place in October. And I think the last thing I have to say is there's a pastoral care meeting on Monday the 3rd of October at 10:30. Okay, Monday the 3rd of October at 10:30 if you're involved in the pastoral care team. I think that's everything, Nigel. Thank you. Sorry, I forgot to say, although he's not a member, Fred Passway died last week. And so I'd ask you all to remember Isabel and the family in your prayers. Okay, if you hadn't heard that, then Fred has died. Okay?
Yeah, one more for those who are aware. Willie Robertson passed away a few weeks ago, and the funeral is going to be on Tuesday at 3:30 at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium. I just had to verify that. Thank you, Maureen. So please go along to support the family, and the service will be at the crematorium. I hope and trust this week has been okay for you. I always want to test. I didn't come along to shake your hands and greet you because I am not so good, but I'm okay. It's not COVID, you can be assured. I've tested myself more than times. If it is, it won't come to you. but we come before the presence of God. We are always in the presence of God. And the psalmist says this, and I want you to join in. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. And I think that's the kind of God we come to this morning to worship. And why don't you stand in reverence to this almighty God as we sing together, God, whose almighty word.
Amen.
in prayer. We also praying as she is leading in prayer. You are also whispering to God and just praying along the way as well to God. Over to you, Margaret.
Heavenly Father, how good it is to come to you this morning. You are always there, especially for us in times of trouble. Father, you see us as we are. Sometimes we step back, get lost in our own wee world, and we then need you to lift us and bring us back. Forgive us when we do this and guide us forward. Father, we praise you and thank you for all the goodness to us in everyday things, which can only come from you. We thank you for our family and friends, those near and far away. We thank you for people who grow and sell our food, sustaining us, for the people who supply our heat, for the people who make and sell our clothes, and we are always aware that many in our world lack basic needs. Father, we praise you because you are so great and so wonderful. You are far greater than anything we can think of, and far more wonderful than anything or anyone we have known. We praise you that though Jesus taught us to call you our Father, you are a more loving Father than our earthly Father could be. Jesus came so that we might learn how much you love us, but your love is more amazing than anything we have known. Lord, you speak, help us not to be deaf. You challenge us, but we sometimes close our ears. You hold out your hand to guide us, but we easily turn our back from you. You reach out to comfort us, but we are too self-confident to receive it. You join us in our journey, but we do not always recognize you. You try to change the directions of our life, but we think we know best. You warm our cold hearts. You inspire our faith, and you forgive us again and again. And we are amazed. Lord, open our hearts to your grace and renew our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we praise you for the beauty of our world. We praise you for the trees and the fields, of streams and rivers, of seas and oceans. We praise you for the world in which we live and for the people who share this with us. Father, we also pray for those who are ill and sick at this time, and we ask that you lay your healing hand in them today and in the days to come. All this we ask in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us when to pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. Now, next week, I will be asking something radical for those who will be here, but at least I want you to be aware of it. I just want you to not to be nervous about it, but I'm going to be asking you to do something. As you may be aware that our presbytery has been going through some changes, and some of those changes demand that you and I think differently, act differently, and sometimes the one thing that will be asked of us is to change where we sit. Because surely, when we have other people coming through, and you're so used, if you are like Gary who sits on the far right, and then somebody else is sitting on your seat, what do you do? Do you say to them, you know, sorry, this is my seat? No, you don't. So next Sunday, I'll be asking you, it has to come in the service. So just come, be aware that you will be asked to do something different, because I'm sure when we get to heaven, it will be also like that, because we'll be getting surprises. But one of the passages we're reading today is one of the very common sayings of Jesus as he was moving about. And one of the sayings of Jesus is one of the I ams of Jesus we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. Today is the one in John chapter 8. And just before I get to remind you what it says, how many of you sleep with the light on? How many of you switch off the light when you go to bed. Well, that's good. So almost majority of the people. D, when he was younger than he is now, he used to want the light on. And that was him. And at some point, I also used to want the light on until I got married. And I had to reach that compromise as well. But then things changed, I think, at some point. And she wanted the light on, and I didn't want the light on. But that's how people are. But I want you to imagine for a moment that you are fast asleep in your bed, and suddenly you wake up. And as you wake up in the midst of the night, it's very dark. What would help? A scary voice? Would that help you? What would help if you wake up and all of a sudden it's so dark? Yes? The light would help for you. Okay? What else would help for you? What would help you to just be comfortable? If you hear a voice that says, I'm right here, would you be at ease? Perhaps for those who are married, if you're married and your spouse's voice comes through, you can be okay, right? But some of you attest that light would be very helpful. Now imagine that you are walking through the woods and suddenly it has become really dark and you're struggling to see the path. Would a shadow help you? What would help then? A torch would help. Okay. All right. What else could help? The moon could help. Yeah. All right. And finally, imagine that you are the captain of the ship out on the sea at night and that you need to avoid hitting the rocks or whatever walls as you reach to the shore. What would help you as a captain? Light. And that light, what do they call that light? The lighthouse could be very helpful. You see? God? Yeah. God is always handy. So a lighthouse would be very helpful. Now, in many different situations that we find ourselves in, we know that light is good news, right? It is good news. You're just in dark and all of a sudden light comes through. That's helpful. That is very helpful. Now, Jesus said something very interesting about himself in the Bible. In one of the passages we read today, he says this very powerful words. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. That's in John 8, verse 12. So Jesus being the light of the world is good news for each and every one of us. And over the past weeks, we've been looking at, you know, how it's amazing to be in this, in the presence of God. We were reminded of God's love. And today we hear again good news, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Now, during this service, we're going to discover a little more about what that means. And I hope and trust that you prepare your hearts even when we hear the word read and preached to us, that you can get something to think about, something to pray about, and something to ponder throughout this week as we go on our business. So Stuart last week did very well. By public demand, people said, Stuart, you need to do this song again. So we're going to sing this little light of mine. And I hope and trust you've been practicing your dances because we need to dance for the Lord. Let's sing together this little light of mine. The darkness from above, it shines on me and it shines on you. That knows the power of love can do. Shine my light of fire, I'm gonna shine my light of fire. In this dark corner in the land, I'm gonna let my light, little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna make it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna make it shine. Make it shine, make it shine, make it shine. One day gave me the gift of love, on Tuesday, peace flowing from above. On Wednesday, told me more faith. On Thursday, he gave me a little more grace. Friday, told me to just watch and pray. On Saturday, he told me what to say. On Sunday, gave me the power of our divine to let my little light shine. Light of my, oh, oh. I'm gonna let it shine, hallelujah. This light of mine, I'm gonna make it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna make it shine. Make it shine, make it shine, let it shine. Wow. That's really amazing. That's really good. Keep up the good work of dancing for the Lord. Maybe, you know, some of you, I know you are still too young, because some of us are really old. And, you know, young people, dance for the Lord. It's good to dance for the Lord. And we prepare our hearts as we prepare to hear God's word read to us this morning. And let us pray together. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence us and silence any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Open our eyes to see things that we've never seen in your word before. And as we hear, Lord, give us the strength to actually get to follow after what the word says to us and challenges us to do. All this we pray for and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Two scripture readings this morning. The first one is in the prophet Isaiah, and we're reading Isaiah chapter 49 from verse 1 through to 6. And then secondly, John chapter 8, verses 12 through to 16.
Israel, a light of the nations. Listen to me, distant nations, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me and appointed me to be his servant. He made my words as sharp as a sword, and with his own hand he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready for use. He said to me, Israel, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. I said, I have worked, but how hopeless it is. I have used up my strength, but have accomplished nothing. Yet I can trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor. He is the source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. I am the light of the world, he said. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in the darkness. The Pharisees said to him, Now you are testifying on your own behalf. What you say proves nothing. No, Jesus answered, even though I do testify in my own behalf, what I say is true, because I know where I come from and where I am going. You do not know where I come from or where I am going. You make judgments in me in a purely human way. I pass judgment on no one. But if I were to do so, my judgment would be true, because I am not alone in this. The Father who sent me is with me. Amen. And may God add a blessing to his readings this morning.
Now, I wonder what comes to mind for you when you hear the words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that reads as follows. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. For me, a sense of despair when I hear those words and that description, I see a sense of hopelessness. It's dull. It's scary. And I wonder if this may be how your week was like. Scary. Hopeless. With a sense of no hope. Formless and empty. And with a lot of darkness. All patches of darkness. One might suggest that darkness was over the surface of my world this month, this past week, for the nation. But the verse goes on to say something that is also very powerful. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters with a sense of saying, inasmuch as it was hopeless and formless and with no hope whatsoever, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the verse doesn't end there. It goes on to say, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, the Bible story we read today in chapter 8 begins with the story of a woman who had experienced a darker day for herself. She had been condemned by men. She was brought to Jesus, and at this time, she's condemned and so hopeless in her life, and she is almost wishing that if one word could just come from somewhere else to save her. It was so dark for her in terms of what she was facing. And I'm sure as people who were in that culture, they had seen things. People being stoned to death, And I'm sure she could have heard somebody or have heard stories about people being stoned to death. As if I imagine someone who is at the point of dying and only waiting for one word from Jesus. It's either Jesus was going to say one word or two phrases or whatever it is, and her life would be gone. Now, this is the setup where we're picking up where we read today. And Jesus does something amazing, just something that brought light to the life of this woman. And in case you missed it, let me help you here. Jesus said to this woman, towards the end of verses 10 and 11, she said, "Where are they, the people that condemned you, the people that wanted to kill you, the people that wanted to stone you? Is there no one left to condemn you?" Jesus said. "No one, sir," she answered. And then Jesus said something that is like bringing light into a darker world for this woman. And he said, "Well, then, I do not condemn you either. I do not condemn you either." And then he says something liberating. "Go. Go." It's like you're free. But he didn't end there. He says, "Go, but do not sin again." This is where we're picking up. So Jesus spoke to these Pharisees again. And so we pick up, this is what has just happened. Jesus has liberated this woman. And then all of a sudden we get to verse 12. Jesus saying something, and he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Do you see the picture? Do you see how beautiful it is? It's just so beautiful. In one sentence, Jesus answers perhaps three of the most important and most crucial questions of this life. The one which is, who is this Jesus? Who is he? What's his identity? The second one who will be, why did he come anyway? Why is he here? Why do we keep saying Jesus is alive today? Lastly, how can we know him? Because if this is how liberating Jesus can be, I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to be liberated from the things of this world. I want to be liberated of the things that bring me to places where I feel like I'm in the dark and I have nowhere to go and I have nowhere, nothing else to do. Let's go step by step. Who is this Jesus? In a number of passages I will quote that will almost bring light to that. To his identity, if we were to look in Isaiah 9, verse 2 and 6, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," it says. "Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined through Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." In Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You wonder who Jesus is? This is who he is. Again in Isaiah we read, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen up upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." This is who Jesus is. "And nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." That's Isaiah 60, verse 20. In Mika, we hear thus, rejoice not over me, all my enemies. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. This is who he is. He's the light to us. In the New Testament, in Luke, we read this. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. This was Simeon declaring who Jesus is. You may remember Jesus telling Nicodemus, the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light. Who is the light? It's Jesus. So that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So when Jesus declared, I am the light of the world, this statement was mind-blowing to Jews. And I hope it is to Christians today, because it was a reminder for the Jews of the dark 40 days in the wilderness, and yet Jesus, or God, came about and just brought the light once again. So that's who Jesus is to us. He's the light. Why did he come? Why is he here? Why is he still lingering around with us? Christ came as the light of the world so that we would not have to walk in darkness. Now, sometimes one of the things that people associate darkness with is they only associate it with sin, which is correct, yes. But there are so many Christians who come to Sundays after Sundays and they walk in darkness. It's as if the light doesn't shine on their faces because they live like people who are destitute, when in actual fact they are children of the light. He came to protect us through the darkness of this world. Are you aware of that? When dark moments come in your life, or when they're trying to cripple into your life, are you mindful of that? Are you aware that Jesus came so that he can destroy that which blinds us as Christians, so that we can end up eating everything as if it's food? Because Christians these days, they are eating on anything that is before the table in the name of it could be food. What do you feed your lives on? He came to deliver us from the darkness of hell. And are you mindful of that as you walk with Christ? Are you mindful of that? Not that that should lead you to condemn yourself. No, we're not going back there again anymore, where we condemn ourselves or we allow other people to condemn us. But we should be liberated, and we get to say, we are children who are on a mission, and our mission is to actually get to say, nobody should be left out. That should be your mission and my mission. He came to endure the darkness of Calvary for us. The cross is empty. He's not there anymore, but he has paid the price. He has done it all so that you and I can just walk. If there was anything that we could boast about, it should be the fact that Jesus has paid for everything for us. But do you declare that to your neighbors? Do you declare that over your children or your grandchildren? Do you bother to actually boast about that side of why Jesus came? Because I think it's important. I think our city needs to hear that. The three towns need to hear that. Your friends need to hear that. They need to hear that he came, that he could have the light of life. Just like this woman who was about to be, who was condemned by everybody else, who was about to be stoned to death, and then just like a light bulb lighting on, Jesus did it. And this woman was liberated. She walked away free. forgiven? Do you walk like somebody who is forgiven? And you know why? So many times the church is like busy getting to say to people, oh, you are condemned. Yeah, you are condemned. And I think we need to play out the reverse. We need to tell people that you could come to light. You're in dark. You could come to light. And how does that work? Maybe you ask, how does that work? It could work by you allowing the light of Christ that is on you to shine on the darkness that other people are surrounded with. Do you see the magic? I think, unfortunately, I couldn't get a good torch. I could have illustrated it for you. And I know our church is so bright, unfortunately, it wouldn't work. Maybe when we do Bible study one of these days, I'll show you how it is like. It's like just getting to see light coming through in the darkness, and you will be a different person. Do you think this woman, when she had been liberated like this, she would have been someone people would take for granted, or someone people would just toss left and right and center? No. She would be able to say, hey, I've been liberated. You know that? You can be liberated as well. Now, we do not need to sit in the darkness of worry, of fear, of anger, of lust, of unforgiveness, because Christ came as the light to all those situations. I've said to you earlier on, I'm not that strong. Let me come to conclude. But before I conclude, how can we know him? How can we know him? We are to follow him. And to follow him is not to come to church. It's more than that. To follow him is to just get to feed from Jesus and get to how, you know, when we say we follow him, does it mean he only comes to this building only? No, he also goes out then. Do you follow him? Do you follow him wherever he sends you? Do you? Or maybe a better question is, where have you followed Jesus this past week? Where did he lead you to? Or you're not even connected that much to this Jesus that you are even able to hear when he says, go to your neighbor. Go to your neighbor. He needs a prayer. And he doesn't need you to go and say, now I've come to pray for you. No. It will come like a light bulb when you get to say to your neighbor, hey, I've been wondering about this. And then she gets to say, wow, how did you know that? How did you know that I was in need? Or how did you know that I needed a phone call? How did you know that I needed just somebody to talk to? And that becomes the light bulb for that person. And then you have the opportunity, then you get to say, oh, by the way, I walk in the light. And Jesus whispered to me. And when Jesus, then you get to be bubbly about it, and you get the opportunity to share about Jesus. We follow his footsteps, being obedient to his word, day in and day out. We follow by praying and by reading his word, and meeting together and struggling to understand this passage and these passages together. And we get to say, there's more to this. Let's check on other people's experiences as we check on this passage. That's how it is. And we get to say, but we don't get it. Let's pray about it. What have you been hearing? And somebody will come and say, hey, you know what? I read this book. Somebody's experiences has been like this, amazing. I was blind and now I see. Somebody has said this is their story. And you get to share that. And as you share that, following Christ together, you get to understand bigger things about the kingdom of God. And you get to understand that, oh, we walk in the light of God. That's how it works. Trusting to him everything. Trusting to him our past. Trusting to him our present, and trusting to him our future. Have you ever seen people, you know, and I know it almost counts like ignorance to some. But you know what, when you read this Bible, sometimes you get to read crazy stories, eh, in this book. And they seem crazy because faith is bigger. It's bigger than what we can see. When you start to be driven by what God says to you, you get to be crazy to other people. Because when you have entrusted your future, sometimes it's like you look at your savings, they don't make sense. And you then get to say, I will be happy. I know this is not enough to last me the next 10 years, but I'm going to be happy because I am alive and I'm going to be happy. There's every reason for me to be excited about life. Yes, I know that some people say my mother or grandmother died at 72. Now that I'm 72, maybe death is approaching. But when you get to read the Bible and you're following and you're trusting God with your future, you get to say to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you live your life so crazy, giving away love to others and giving away the best of each day and each hour you have, and you care about others. I write these things that you may believe in Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is what John says, why he wrote this gospel. So that we may believe in Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. I hope and trust that what I'm doing today is just teasing you to get to go and read more and ask more questions. And the Holy Spirit that has been given for each and every one of us would be then getting to say, Maureen, this is how you go about it. And each and every day you'll find life fun and enjoyable. And in case you get to miss what I'm saying, I'm not saying to you, go and get to do everything in this world today because you'll be tired. But I'm asking you to ask God and through the Spirit that they would guide you, that you get to see when you read the Bible and when you're living out your lives, you understand that Jesus is the light of the world. Does that make any sense? He doesn't want us to just have knowledge and the truth of his word. He desires that we would know life and know it well. We can know his life today. We join at this time of fellowship together. But afterwards, we also join others who were not here, but in fellowship with others in communities. And as we do so, we're reminded of the greatness of God. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Next week, we will look at another I am, where Jesus gets to say, I am the door. I am the door. And I hope and trust that God will help us to see more of him and to experience more of him as we walk with him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is our light. Please be seated. Lord God, who provides us with everything we need, we come before you in prayer, ready to acknowledge you as the creator of every single aspect of life that is good, from the spectacular to everyday necessities, from the splendor of majestic mountains around us. We know that you seek nothing other than faithfulness and full participation in life as you intended to. Today, we do bring these gifts and the gifts offered in other ways as tokens of our resolve to play our part in the work of the church and the establishment of your kingdom. Bless these gifts, O God. Bless those talents that were given away. Bless those times that were given to others. Those things that were given when people were not seeing. Those services that were given to even people who don't comprehend it. Those gifts that were given when we didn't feel like doing it. And yet, because you have told us and you keep encouraging us to give, we have given. Gracious God, we ask today that you bring the comforting touch of your Spirit upon all who are laboring under the burden of living with mental illness. We pray that they will identify themselves as a person who is loved and cherished by you. We pray for parents who have children that are struggling to find confidence in a society that can so easily leave people feeling cast aside. Lord, may you come in and just be the light to this people, to their experiences, to us as we reach out to others. We pray for the children who cannot sometimes express themselves, and they struggle to express who they are. We pray for the parents themselves, that they may find places of security and dignity, which will avoid their illness being the sole condition which defines them. We pray for those who are beaten down or perceived shame and stigma, asking that you guide those people towards the path which will lead them to find compassionate people, to find light which illuminates the soul, and to discover the truth of their being as a valued and treasured citizen or people. Lord, we learn from you that the greatest gifts we can give to others is our time, our respect, and our love. As your people, we seek to be faithful in carrying forward the example of Jesus in our dealing with other people. Today, this week, inspire us to be the best version of ourselves we can be. Lead us to the situations and the people that we can influence positively through the human touch and through the reflection of your love as we share and give and give. Lord, there are some in our midst who are ill, who are hurting, some who are sitting at home who can't be here, who are not well. Holy Spirit, you are beyond buildings. You're beyond distance. You are next to us all the time. And I pray for your touch now, for healing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you stretch your hand on those who need you right now. Some who can't raise their hands to say, I need Jesus. And yet, Lord, you know they need you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch and heal. And just be around us. Give us that sense of security and grace and love and peace and joy that surpasses all human understanding. Lord Jesus, you're still healing. Can you come now and heal? Lord Jesus, you're still doing miracles. Can you raise us from dead
to life again? Can we have that life again through you, through your Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross right now? Lord, we ask, please, Lord, touch us, heal us as a church, heal us as your people. May we be connected to you and know that we are children of the light. We walk in the light of God, and we will fear nothing because you are with us. Your rod, your staff, they comfort us. Lord, give us victory this week. Give us joy this week. Give us the strength to say and declare that this little light of mine, I will let it shine for your glory and for your glory alone. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray that, Lord, when we leave this place, we leave with the fragrance of the presence of Jesus that heals, that comforts, that touches us and gives us a sense of hope again when we have been losing hope. We thank you, Lord. Nothing is unknown to you. Everything is known to you. Be with us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing our next hymn. And now, Heavenly Father, may we leave this place to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide their feet in the way of peace. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The blessing of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.